Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I got to tell you, though, Robbie, I don't know where you grew up, but I can tell you that after being told that Joe's operating from home in snowy weather and knowing that we grew up in the Midwest, I'm questioning, like, how exactly, Joe, what happened, man? Like, you can't drive in snow anymore? I mean, like, what exactly occurred?
We have salt trucks in Michigan, buddy. In Michigan, we take care of the road. We don't need to have that crap down here. This stuff never happens.
You wouldn't be driving down here, too. We hit the roads before the salt trucks in our day. We're old enough. We can remember times where we were the first tracks on the road.
Well, you were the Wild West side. You Wild West side are a little different, man. It's a little different over there.
Look, man, I was born in Nashville. Man, I accept no responsibility for this stuff. This stuff's not supposed to happen here.
I'll tell you what, I covered, so I did the Texans, I did the Texans Browns, and then I drove that night to Dallas to do Dallas Green Bay, and the next day, so it snowed in Dallas, started snowing during the game, and the next morning I get up to drive home, and usually it's like a 3.5 to 4 hour drive on the way home, and I'm telling you, it's like we're talking like an inch of snow, an inch, like, so nothing basically, and freezing temps. It took me 7 hours to drive home just because people in Texas, if you get an inch of snow, they all think you can just still drive 70, but they don't realize that every bridge freezes. So you get like total jamokes, like driving 70 miles an hour, and then they hit the bridge, fishtail into the wall. It's just like, yeah, they never learn. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. This weather's awesome, though.
Just incredible. It's very similar here. So Charles, obviously the Titans in the heat of a coaching search right now, they're going to interview Brian Callahan for his second interview. And we know now that Mike McCarthy not going to be let go by the Cowboys. So it's a very interesting coaching market right now, from Harbaugh to Belichick to some of the younger offensive guys like Ben Johnson, Bobby Slowick, Brian Callahan. What do you make of the options that are out there in this coaching search? And as somebody looking at what the Titans have available to them, what do you think would be a good fit stylistically for what the Titans are and what they want to be?
Yeah, it's interesting because, Callahan, sort of the Shanahan tree guy. I've seen some of the others that they've brought in, Mike Kafka. It's all these guys that are there's a lot of connective tissue to, offensive wizards, Thomas Brown and McVay, and obviously you have Ben Johnson, who's got the track record. So you can see the overwhelming offensive nature of not that Dan Quinn, obviously Antonio Pierce, Aaron Glenn, there's been Mike McDonald. They've mixed it up with some defensive guys as well. But I think I'd be surprised given that they just separated from a quote unquote leader coach, that they wouldn't be leaning into wanting to bring someone in for Will Levis, have an offensive mind, craft him and Slowick's having an absolutely wonderful season. I mean, it's obviously continuing in the off season, and that's great for him. Callahan's very well respected, particularly, when you talk to people in that Shanahan tree. It's Ben Johnson would have been a head coach last year if he hadn't just pulled himself out of things, out of the mix last year to go back to Detroit and really accomplish what he's accomplishing right now with Dan Campbell. So I would be stunned if it's not an offensive coach, but I'll tell you what we did. We have a piece coming out later today where Joy Epstein and we reached out to six, like a mix of coaches and executives, and we asked them to rank the seven openings. We said, look, we're going to do it on point system, 1 to 7, add it up and give us sort of your reasonings why. And the Titans finished sixth, and let's see, 1 5th place vote, 4 6th place votes, and someone voted them seventh, like worse than Carolina. And I was stunned when we talked to people just how damaging the Vrabel firing was to the just sort of the questions of what's going on inside the organization. Like it was like, okay, well, if they're going to fire Mike, who's really well respected across the league, both in executive circles and head coaching circles, people are like, well, then why, like, what do they want? Like if he's not good enough as a coach or as a leader or whatever, and he and Amy may have been on the different pages there. It just raised a huge red flag for, other people that, you know, could potentially be on these lists. And the people we talked to, we tried to make it, okay, it's some of them are going to be people, a couple of them are going to be people that are on prominently on lists now to be interviewed. Others are already in like sort of like in head coaching or general manager spots. And then I even reached out to like a former general manager who had been through sort of the whole cycle before coming up, getting hired, being in a position and then getting fired and then getting himself back into the league. So we really got a diversity of thought in terms of the experience. And it was remarkable to me, just some of the negativity that surrounds looking at that Tennessee job. And, you know, you have some guys that are like, I don't know if the quarterback position's resolved. Like I personally, you have to be a sort of a Levis fan when you go in there. So that impacts, you know, who's coming in, particularly given that at least the thought process of the candidates is that, you know, Levis was a Rand and Amy influenced draft choice. So if you come in and you're like, I don't know, Levis, you know, this is ultimately going to be the quarterback. Do you create friction for yourself when you come into the job? And then obviously the offensive line being in disrepair, there is some talent on the roster, and the biggest highlight I thought that might even tell you maybe how some candidates look at the Titans is just the immense amount of cap space over the next two off seasons and the ability to pivot, you know, pretty quickly. Like, and I almost wonder if it's being looked at as like a 49ers job when Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch went in there, and by the end of two seasons, the vast amount of roster turnover that occurred under those two. I think the youth on the Titans is a little bit different. I think there are more guys worthy of keeping around, so it wouldn't be that 90% roster flip in 2 years. But it's looking to me, when you talk to people, like they feel like it's a much harder reboot than I initially thought.
Well, just tell us if Bobby Slowick was one of the coaches talked to, and does he love or hate the Titans? Can you tell us that, Charles?
Yeah, you know, let's bust up all the anonymity and let's just roll all the names out right now.
But seriously, though,
had a good offseason.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead. No, you're good.
Yeah. Okay. Well. So, you know, my serious question is. Okay, so I get that, the owner upheaval. I mean, as we've talked about, I mean, Tepper has shown his butt in many ways, probably literally, too, at some point to a fan in some stadium. We just don't know about that incident yet. And, you know, it, one of 32 jobs. So it sounds like that's a significant thing, and obviously the quarterback is a significant thing, too. Did you get the sense that more than not are down on Levis? Because it just feels like there's a wide range of opinions on him.
More than not. Yeah, you know, I didn't ask every single one about Levis. So I don't want to say, I will say that off the top of my head, three in particular were not hard and fast believers that he was the answer at quarterback, because I remember having conversations with all three about where their draft position is now. And like, okay, like one literally said, like, if I went in now, I would start selling them on, yeah, you know, I don't think Levis is the guy. And if you do, we're probably not going to work. And if you don't, or if you're open to listening, you know, I think there are a couple of quarterbacks in this draft that we might actually be able to get a shot at, you know, from this position, the draft, maybe move up, you know, have to expend some capital, but who clearly was like, it's not resolved. I would want to retool immediately. And, but you know, it's, there's a reason why he went where he went in the draft. There's a reason why he slid to the second round, and that's because, you know, there's some disparity of opinion on him. And, you know, now that said, again, off the top, I remember a conversation with one where he was very workable, where they, you know, thought, look, he's got the tools. You know, there's work there to be done, but he's certainly not someone where you're walking in and immediately going, okay, we got to figure out a way to separate. I think the concern was more sort of, if, you know, you have to believe in him when you're going in, because if you don't, that becomes a conversation that you have to have with the general manager and the owner and find out, you know, what the level of commitment is there. And you just don't want to walk in immediately having, especially with a young quarterback, having that be a primary conversation or point of concern when you're coming in, particularly when you could see clearly when we talked to these people and we pulled them, there's a question about, you know, okay, well, how's the structure going to work now? And there's just a lot of questions about, you know, how the team internally is going to be run, number one. And then number two, like, could that change? You know, hey, 18 months, does ownership have a different idea about how, you know, the relationship is working or the decisions that are being made? Or is it 2 years or does it stay the way that it is when they go in? So, yeah, it's just, it's tough. I think particularly when you look at these openings, very much like one guy said to me, owner first, like he's like owner first, always, you always, oh, you know, that's the first thing. And then you get to quarterback after that, then you get to the draft after, or you get to the rest of the roster after that. But if it's not going to work with the owner, you know, you don't take those jobs ever, even if that means having to sit out this cycle, unless you know, this is my only shot I'm ever going to have at a head coaching spot. You know, and I think general managers, you know, would feel the same way. If this is my only shot I have at a position, if it's not going to work with the owner, you know, that's the only time you take it, when you're like, there's potentially an issue, you know, with an owner. And then, you know, it very much is like, after owner, what is your quarterback situation? And then you get to the roster. And so I guess if I were fans right now and you're looking at the Titans job, think about it that way, in the linear fashion where you're like, when I walk through the door, the first thing I'm worrying about is the owner. And then once I get done with that, you know, ownership situation or how I feel about that, then I move on to the quarterback. Then fans should go, okay, well, where do we rank in these seven, you know, openings when it comes to owner to quarterback? And the Commanders finished extremely high in this poll, and it was because of how Josh Harris is viewed, the trajectory of where, you know, that franchise is going, and then the fact that they have a pick where they can now shape immediately the destiny, you know, moving forward at the quarterback spot with that number two overall pick.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We continue our conversation with Charles Robinson with Yahoo Sports here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Charles, I want to ask you about a couple of young quarterbacks and young teams that you saw this weekend in the playoffs. First, C.J. Stroud and the Texans destroying the Browns at home over the weekend. What did you make of his performance? Jordan Love and the Packers waltz into Dallas and they destroy the Cowboys, end up putting up 41 points on offense. Did have the pick six in that game. But what do you make of what we saw from those two quarterbacks specifically and the chances against the number one seeds in those respective conferences coming up in the divisional round this weekend?
Yeah, Stroud, I'm just amazed at how he is the most comfortable young quarterback I think I've ever seen in the league ever. There's no way I can even really compare him to. And you know, what was remarkable to me in really both of those games, you kind of felt like the Packers and Love and then Stroud and the Texans, as you were watching the games, you're like, they're just too young and dumb to realize they should be losing right now. Like they were not tight at all. Like there wasn't, you know, even though the Texans were hosting a home playoff game, you could see that they were, you know, for lack of a better term, happy to be there. You know, just they were so loose, and everything about the way that they were playing, it just, there was no suggestion there at all that there was this element of like pressure weighing on them. And you know, it was funny because before the game, a few of us are sitting there and we're talking about Flacco. And I said, you know, he, as I've watched Flacco's, you know, reemergence from his couch this season, he's good for making, I literally said he's good for making two big mistakes a game, but the defense covers for him and it's workable for the Browns. Well, he threw back-to-back pick sixes and someone who was sitting next to me as we were watching the tournament, he said, I don't think they're going to be able to make up for those. I was like, yeah, it's over. I mean, it was, I think for the Texans, just, you know, defensively, they played so much better in that game than I expected. The secondary played better because they still have holes. They still have some things to fill, but offensively, Slot, he called a really good game in terms of just like mixing it up, being creative. You know, Nico Collins, the Browns just had no answer for him. And what was remarkable is, when they were clicking at times earlier this season, you know, Tank Dell being on the field was such a big part of that offense, and they were able to do this without him. But it's just so much of it is Stroud being able to carry that team and have an entire route tree in front of him. If he ever gets pushed off schedule, he doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't throw balls into coverage. I don't really even know how to explain it. Like he's a, in a way that like Brock Purdy mystified us when he, you know, came out of, felt like he came out of nowhere and really put it together under Shanahan. I think Stroud's another part of that spectrum where it's like, someone's got to explain this, how someone can come in like this and just mentally not have any fear. And then also be so methodical about the decisions that they make and protecting the football for a team that, you know, is not a perfect roster at all. And I think, look, the Ravens are going to be able to run on the Texans, and that functionally, if the Ravens can do that over the course of this season, they play very well against opponents that they can run the football on. That is what I would be worried about for the Houston Texans. But that said, again, I think it's a Texans team that's playing with house money, and that's a little scary because I don't think they go into that game being, again, tight. But is weather going to affect it? You're going to be outside. It's going to be much colder than obviously the dome you play in at NRG. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that game. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then, you know, the Packers, same situation where Jordan Love had kind of three seasons this year where he started off and you're like, okay, it looks like they have something to work with. He hit his sort of hit the rocks in the middle of the season and then pulled himself back together. And I think a lot of it has been the skill position pieces around him. Some of it is working out. Okay, he's throwing to first and second year wide receivers and tight ends. There are going to be times where he misses throws. There are going to be times where guys drop balls or they're on the wrong page. I think they've slowly worked that out over the course of the season. Now he's confident. He's making throws that I actually got in trouble in the press box in Dallas because the touchdown pass he threw to Dontavian Wicks, I yelled in the press box. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I literally – and it wasn't – you know, they're like, please don't cheer in the press box. I was like, I'm not cheering. Like, I was just – I was blown away by the throw.
Put your cheese head on?
It was crazy. You know, that was like a – it was like a Rodgers moment where you're like, this dude straight up didn't even need himself to be fully set. And he just feathered a ball into a perfect spot. And that, to me, you can see his level of confidence just growing and growing. And, you know, for the Packers, I think they are so remarkably – I think they feel so good when they overlay this with Rodgers' first season as a starter, just because they both grew sort of similarly. They had some problems in those seasons. Rodgers is working with a much better cast. So I think you could even say Love has kind of exceeded what Rodgers did his first year as a starter. And then defensively, you know, I think the way that they showed up against Dallas early in that game, Dallas was so tight in that game. And once it started to slide, you just saw these uncharacteristic things out of Dallas where, you know, Dak Prescott looked jittery. CeeDee Lamb was getting pushed around by Jair Alexander. You know, Micah Parsons was nowhere to be found. It was just, it slid so badly for them. Again, I like I said, I think the Packers are playing with house money. They go into San Francisco. I think San Francisco's got an ability to come out of that game tight. You know, there is pressure on San Francisco. There is pressure on Purdy. There's pressure on Shanahan. And one coaching thing that happened in that Dallas game that should not be forgotten as they head into San Francisco LaFleur took the – they won the toss. He took the ball first against Dallas, and the reason he did that was because he said, look, they're on a 16-0 run, a heater at home, and teams fall behind here. We're not going to do that. We're going to take the ball first. We're going to go down. We're going to score, and we're immediately going to apply pressure to Dallas on the front end. I thought that was such a great – I mean, it worked. They went down and scored. It had to work for it to be a good call, but it was gutsy on his part, and I think – that bodes well for the Packers and LaFleur going to San Francisco, because I think LaFleur right now is letting it hang out a little bit, you know, and some of the decisions that he's willing to make in terms of being aggressive.
Well, speaking of NFC East bleep shows, quickly, Charles, on the Eagles. I know some – I've seen some reporting there that wants to put a lot on A.J. Brown, and obviously he's been unhappy, but it seems like there's a lot of stuff going on there that's not good. How would you diagnose that situation?
Yeah, the scary thing there is you just got to focus on Hurts, because when they played Tampa and Tampa's blitzing like crazy and they just had nothing in their back pocket to deal with it, you watch that game and you're like, okay, did the coaches just not prepare Hurts well enough to have something in his back pocket once he started having problems with the blitz, or is Hurts just not executing it correctly? And Hurts has had issues with the blitz over the course of his career. And when you talk to people who do all the advanced work on them, people really familiar with Hurts, they will tell you, like, he doesn't like to throw into the middle of the field. He has problems with blitzes. And when you take away a guy like A.J. Brown, which is a lot of vertical stuff, which he loves to throw, you know, outside of the hashes, it's very problematic for him. And what they saw over the course of this season was problems that he has that are not, they have not worked out of his game. You know, the blitz issues, the confidence to consistently throw in the middle of the field to keep drives going. And you have to pin that either on Brian Johnson or you got to pin it on Nick Sirianni. Losing Shane Steichen as the offensive coordinator dramatically affected them this year. He had a regression year. Jalen Hurts did. And I think afterward, when players didn't do the Dak Prescott with Mike McCarthy, which Dak was like, okay, you want to question him? You can question me. Put me right in that boat with him, because all my success is due to that guy, or my growth anyway. The Eagles didn't do that. Hurts didn't do that. He had an opportunity to really stick up for Sirianni, and he didn't, and I think that's what or he very mildly did. I think that's, you know, raises some eyebrows, and both inside that organization and I think externally a lot of people notice that you start to question, like, is that relationship okay between Nick and Hurts, and how do they get him back on the track he was on under Steichen?
Yeah, it was a really wild collapse. There's no question about that. Charles, it's going to be a really fun divisional weekend, we hope. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, guys, and good luck getting out of those houses. I know it's rough working from home.
Thank you. Yes, we really appreciate it. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rex Show, joins us every Thursday morning from 8 to 8:30. So he had some really interesting things to say on the Titans and that coaching search. We'll get back into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.